This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Chairperson of the National Lotteries Commission, the NLC, Professor, of course, Barney Pityana, and of course, he's been chairperson for a few months now, and that's who we're in conversation with of the embattled National Lotteries Commission, and I'm wondering if it's still embattled, and I'm assuming it is. For a while, of course, it will be embattled. Professor Barney Pityana will join us now, and we're going to be talking about the integrity of the National Lottery and what that looks like following the multi-million rand scandals being probed by the Special Investigating Unit. Of course, it's a night of ethical leadership and integrity, because even the next conversation is really about ethical leadership here on Power Perspective tonight. Let me bring Professor Barney Pityana into the conversation. Professor Barney Pityana, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. Sir, how are you?
Good evening, Denzel. Thank you for the invitation, and good evening to your listeners of Power FM. I'm in a good space.
Ah, good. It's nice to know that, because you know you're at an institution that I'm thinking, you know, allocates 1.2 billion rand annually, you know, for the better good and the greater good, and the person at the helm of that needs to be in a good space, in a healthy space.
Well, absolutely, and that's obviously what we're in the business to do. Distribute resources that actually come from the pockets of South Africans, by the way.
Yes.
South Africans take a little out of their pockets in large enough numbers to give and contribute to the National Lottery's Distribution Trust Fund. And then that money will then help those who are indigent, who are poor, who are hungry, the elderly, the school, in education, in health, in the arts, in sport, and it's a very good way of distribution of the little resources that we all have. So I'm in a good space, because I'm in the business of trying to help South Africans understand that for everything that we've been hearing, which is absolutely embarrassing, a disgrace, to put it mildly. But there are many people who, day by day, week by week, give money to this institution for the distribution to the needy of our country. And there are young men and women at the National Lotteries Commission across the country who are working diligently to make sure that those grants are truly and properly distributed to the people who need it.
Sure. Well, disgrace and embarrassing, you talk about it. We've seen the revelations that have come from there. And I was reading up just before this particular interview, and you know, I came across this. Board Chairperson Barney Pityana said that since coming into office 2 months ago, he had been shocked to see what had happened. And I thought, shocked like Cyril Ramaphosa, and shocked and surprised like Cyril Ramaphosa.
Because I was not in that space. You know, I used to chair Utingo, which was the license
absolutely, and for a long, long time
of the National Lottery in the heyday, when in 1998 we all really believed that this country was really going places, and we had the leadership to make up for it, and we had great hopes that we'll reverse the disaster of apartheid within a generation. So really, I come from that generation, and I've now been brought in here precisely for that reason, I suppose, to find this flagship organization, the only one of its kind, the largest distributor of grant funding in this country, actually.
Prof, you talk about reversing the damage that apartheid did, and we were reversing. I mean, for many good years we were reversing, and somehow institutions along the way, and also even this one where you now do sit at the helm, you know, everything would have started with a good purpose, but even as we were reversing everything apartheid had done, and of course it's not going to take 30 years, it'll be much more than that. what happened? Let me just start with the broad conversation of what happened, because here you are now at the National Lotteries Commission and you're fixing. There we have Eskom and they're fixing. Then there's SANRAL and they're fixing. Then there's, you know, something else and we're fixing. Government itself and we're fixing. So we were reversing at some point and we were doing so well. We were that country. What, according to you then, has ultimately crept into our space and gone wrong?
The honest truth, fundamentally, the nation went the wrong way. We went wrong. We became very greedy. We became very individualistic. We became very materialistic. Mm. So no longer were we in the business of meeting the needs of the most needy. Mm. No longer were we using that slogan of the ANC in 1994, providing a better life for the people of our country. Mm. Those slogans didn't matter by 2007, 2008 any longer. Mm. The mantra was simply, let us get rich quick, by whatever means, at whatever cost.
Mm. Let's talk about some of the things you would have seen. I want to work backwards with this conversation and get to when you started there, and of course the lofty principles and the lofty mandate that the National Lottery Commission has. But I want to work backwards. As you began to take over, various people began to leave ship. And maybe that was a good thing, actually, because the commissioner, the CEO, end of August would have resigned, followed by the chief operations officer end of August as well. There was also the chief finance officer also resigned. The chief audit executive also resigned. So the top crust really, really went amidst all the investigations that were beginning to happen. And possibly also with an understanding of, we need to get out of here before, you know, it really, really gets bad for us here and the heat begins to get warmer. That obviously would have assisted you. Let me start with those kind of positions that you would have then immediately needed to fill. Have you gone about fulfilling that particular space of getting those key positions, you know, with people in them? How far are you with that?
Today, I'm so glad to let the whole world know that the National Lotteries Commission has a new commissioner who started today, the 1st of February.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Lynn Fox.
Mm. Brand new.
A dedicated public servant who's worked in the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition for many years, has familiarity because that's the space she was working in at DTIC. Mm. Very, very seasoned public servant.
Mm.
And we really do, as the board, we really do believe that we're making the first step towards changing the character. What those vacancies give us, Denzel, is a critical mass of people who change an organizational culture.
Mm.
You bring in people who come in without any baggage, with an excitement of what this thing is about, and those are the people, together with the commissioner and a new board and a new chairperson, you can begin you can see the beginnings and the makings of a new institutional culture of delivery, of commitment, of service, of love of the people of this country rather than individuals.
Mm.
So already we are expecting to make announcements of a chief operations officer, chief finance officer, a chief audit executives within the next month or so. So, in a sense, as you said yourself, that is it good or bad?
Mm.
In the circumstances, it is good because it gives us an opportunity to make a fresh start with a new cadre, if I may use that loaded political word, a cadre of committed new people to really change the culture of the institution. There have been others, of course, who it may be regrettable that they left. We'll be looking for a head of legal. We are also looking for senior grant funding managers, senior managers. We may be looking for one or two provincial managers. There's in next year, there's going to be a whole change of personnel of the character of the National Lotteries Commission, I bet.
You have the vacancies, Professor. You have the vacancies because obviously, and that's a good thing. Let's assume it's a good thing. But you have those vacancies because, you know, we've been looking at media reports for a while now. There's been reports about, you know, previous boards and their conflict with the minister, boards and something called proactive funding, which suddenly came in, an amendment to the Lotteries Act, and I think which was almost key to the way that the Lotteries Commission began to work and deviate maybe from its principle, that proactive funding amendment of the Lotteries Act. But let's talk about the reason why you have those vacancies. People, we've read about Rolls Royces, we've read about people with various houses, we've read about bank balances, we've read about how people have just amassed huge amounts of money. How surprised were you, and what kind of detail, because of the vacancies that you have, vacancies of course were left for you because of certain, you know, things that took place. How deep and how rotten, what kind of detail is there in what actually happened there? Because, you know, like I said, there's the Rolls Royces, there's the houses, there's the bank balances, there's all sorts of assets that are involved. How deep was it?
You know, you've just used that word deep. It actually runs very deep. And that was my shock. I too, from a distance, had not realized how deep it ran. I now know partly, and not the most for the reasons you mentioned, the chairperson of the board, the board members, William Huma, and others who have enriched themselves, I think, to tell the truth, they are absolutely depraved to have really done any of what they are alleged to have done. Because clearly the investigations have gone such that any day it is expected that the NPA will charge some of those people in the courts of this land. So it was nothing but sheer depravity. But where it shocks me even more, we now have come to become aware, largely through the banks following the movement of cash. We're now beginning to see that actually this thing was at a deeper level, where what one would have assumed were ordinary sports clubs, women's groups here, and all of that, who were in complicity with executives of the National Lotteries Commission, where money was paid, was supposedly to be paid to an NPO, but the money was diverted to accounts that actually were not the ones that had applied for it. And that happens only because and through the complicity that ordinary, hardworking people who believe they are trying to improve the lives of their communities, but they get sucked into a program that ostensibly looks like it's going to help them, but actually they become conveyors of illicit money.
Money from, laundering, in essence.
And laundering money for other people. So that is going to come out because that has caused us to get people around. We've stopped a lot of those accounts, and some of them are complaining. We've stopped those accounts because the banks are now very vigilant about how the money is actually moving from one account to accounts that were not the ones that were intended before.
Is it worth getting the Legal Practices Council involved? Because, you know, when I look at the kind of transactions that would have happened here, and even in state capture, in essence, a lot of the accounting firms, the attorneys, and those firms that really, really needed to make sure that the books were fine, and accounting seemed to be part of, you know, the whole racket itself. So the SIU is involved, the NPA is involved, civil action is taking place. They've frozen some of the assets and recovering some of the assets. But then you've got this different other layer as well, where those who should have been making sure that things don't go wrong, the accounting officers, the firms and the attorneys also seemed to get involved, and that brings a scary component to it, because not only then are individuals and others getting involved, but accomplished then through the structures that need to be protecting.
Indeed, the SIU and the Hawks have already put reports on. It's just mind-boggling, the conveyances who were actually part of this money laundering regime that was going on in the property that was being acquired, which was evidently from ill-begotten gains. And some of the accountants. So yes, the SIU is definitely of the view that the professional bodies need to be armed to take appropriate action. They've reported these cases, by the way, to the Legal Practice Council and to the to SAICA.
Let's talk about restoring then the mission. As I said, I want to work backwards. So you've been there for a few months. You're getting people into the system, into key positions. You've got already staff across the National Lotteries Commission, people who, of course, you're trying to, you know, not to scare, but people that you're just trying to work with, while disciplinary actions are also happening within the commission itself. The restoration of the mission that had been lost, how are you bringing that about? Because that's a moral and ethical job as well. It's not merely just counting the numbers and making sure that the practices are fulfilled.
Absolutely. We focused on that. The board that I have the privilege to lead, and now a commissioner who has come in, we all together focused on reimagining the National Lotteries Commission. Very soon, we will be bringing together a strategy document as to where we think, because in a sense, the National Lotteries Commission, since 1998, perhaps, it was time for it to really get a new life, because since 1998 and these things that have happened probably are putting to death the National Lotteries Commission of that time. It's a moment now for us to reimagine the National Lotteries Commission for the future. And that is the work that is underway at the moment. It's starting maybe in fits and starts, but we're hoping that by the middle of the year, we'll be able to put out a clear document as to where the National Lotteries is going. And it, where it begins, Denzel, is really changing the mind of the executives and the managers and the staff at the National Lotteries Commission to understand better and more deeply the purpose of their being in that organization. It's not even that. The National Lotteries Commission pays its staff very well, actually. Better than...
Which is good to know.
they do. And yet, it has not stopped many people to really try to reach out for more than what belongs to them.
Whilst you work on that culture of morality and you work with the inner workings of the National Lottery, and you try to bring that back over years within an organization, just like, and I'll use Eskom as an example, you get to a point where silence and secrecy takes over because of fear and intimidation. How do you break that?
Which is exactly what has been happening at the National Lotteries Commission. Part of the killing and the dying of the National Lotteries Commission has been a culture of intimidation, of fear, and very brutal fear. Many staff, as I speak, are afraid for their lives. For their lives, because again and again, people are receiving secret messages, SMSs, and they are threatened. And in fact, all of these matters are being investigated as to what is the source of these threats. South Africa has become a very violent society, and people just have no appreciation of the good that other people are doing. And what they want to do is to shut them up, is to kill them, is to remove them.
In essence, would you not expect that, Professor Bonnie Pityana, because as you begin to deal with the corrupt elements and those corrupt elements beginning to protect themselves, and they know that there are figures still within the National Lottery Commission that would begin to speak about the things and engage about numbers and produce documentation, that kind of intimidation would exceed, it would excel, it would become even more profound as people are being dealt with in the courts. My logic would say that is to be expected. So, you know, how you protect those particular people within the organization is going to be absolute key, because as the authorities begin to proceed against the others, that intimidation would become, you know, just more and more.
100%. We realize that. I mean, the National Lotteries Commission, as I said, generally had ingrained culture of secrecy and fear and intimidation. Just amazing, absolutely amazing. I never even dreamt that it could be like that. People were just tiptoeing around issues. They're afraid. They cast glances at the other people. They never speak. Never speak their minds. Never say anything in public. Never say anything in meetings. And they were, I mean, I imagine, you know, in Hitlerite Germany or in Stalinist Russia, you would think that it's that kind of place. But the first thing to do is to give confidence back. I mean, Steve Biko said that what was important is to pump the back into the lungs of the people more oxygen for them to look up and to be bold and to be courageous and to be proud and to be redeemed and people and to be proud of who they are. And if that is the case, if they knew why they were in the business, what they were doing, and they were appreciated in terms of their human dignity, and they were given space to express themselves freely, the culture of the organization must change.
Sure. Professor Bonnie Pityana, Kia in Pretoria wants to join the conversation. Kia in Pretoria?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure, Kia.
Yes, I just wanted to ask Prof. I'm calling on behalf of an NPO in a small village in Mudigwe in the northwest. This NPO was awarded a grant, 500,000, last year, 2022. And they went and signed a contract in Mafikeng. They were told the money will be in August. Between them signing and receiving the money, officials from Mafikeng came all the way down to northwest there in Mudigwe, close to Brits. They checked a membership of the NPO, all the members, verified their ID numbers, looked at the site where the project will take place. Then August came and went. In September, when they inquired, they were told the money was paid into their account. They even went to the bank thinking something went wrong with the bank account, but the bank confirmed the funds were never received. Till today, they are struggling to find answers from Mahigen. What exactly went wrong? Because all they get is the funds were out. They are investigating. It's been the same conversation. When they call, because Mahikeng is quite far from Mudigwe, so normally they would call every week. No one picks up the call. No one has answers for them. They've been to the offices in Mahikeng. They couldn't get answers. So I wanted to know, in a case like that, where you are told that your funds were paid, but you had not received them, where do you go? Where do you get help to really get to the bottom of the issue? Because right now they are just in limbo.
Kia, stay on the line, Kia. Prof, I think Kia is an absolutely typical example of some of the stuff that went on.
For Kia, that is not an isolated example. Okay. we are discovering a number of cases like that. As I said to you, with the assistance of the bank, we're beginning to discover the strange movements of payments that were not in the original way they were. And what has happened now is that all of those that the banks have alerted us to, we've closed them, we've stopped them. As we are investigating, we are hoping that by doing that, the legitimate grantees will actually be able to receive what belongs to them. But before that, we've got to stop it and then find out where the money went. All I can say to Kia, matters like that, their case is not isolated, but they must actually write, maybe write to me, the chairperson, or write to the commissioner directly and express that case. And then we can be able to alert them as to what exactly is going on. And indeed, indicate to them as to how we seek to correct that matter so that the legitimate grantees can receive their grants.
Kia, would that, Kia, that works for you then, Kia? Get involved directly, like Professor Bonnie Pichana says, write to him, write to the commission, raise it like that. And then obviously he also says that, you know, if it's a legitimate process that might have worked, that would be looked at. And then also, of course, people will look into the fraudulent aspect of it as well. Kia?
Oh, yes, thank you. I hope we'll be able to get the props details so we can write to him directly as well.
Sure, Kia in Pretoria. Prof, as we conclude the conversation, then I want to ask you this: what are you doing? You know, the National Lotteries Commission. There's an aspect of addiction to some of the stuff, and it's the human nature stuff. So in essence, yes, you need the National Lottery, you need the commission, you need the kind of work that it does, but there's the other human aspect to it, and it's that addictive nature where you don't really want people to start suffering financially because they've become addicted to this particular, you know, thing. What happens in that particular space? How do you deal with that?
Part of the responsibility we have is to protect the interests of those who participate in the National Lottery. And part of the duty we have is that the National Lotteries, National Lottery must be conducted with all due propriety. That's the word that is used. And that has been translated programmatically by the licensed operator in Tuba into projects that actually work with others to deal with the issues of addictive gambling, advisory services and counseling, and being very alert to excessive gambling. For example, how many times, if it is at all possible, it's not always possible, to find if the same, especially now that people can use their apps and their banking apps, etc. It's easier to find out if there is excessive use of.
There's monitoring actually of that behavior also.
Monitoring of addictive behavior and there's counseling where indications are such that it would be. But overall, in terms of the research, South Africa at least, there is no evidence of excessive gambling, not gambling, of excessive play. There is excessive gambling as far as the casinos and things like that. Those cases do, but the lottery is a different sort of game of chance, and at the level at which people play per ticket. We'll have to have people playing at 5 rand per ticket, completing loads of tickets, two or three times a week, something like, if it becomes real, 100 tickets at a time, which would never really happen like that.
Yeah, it's not a machine that spins on the second.
No. At the moment, the research is that while there is evidence of addiction, but it's not the kind of addiction And of course, something is being done to deal with it.
Mm.
But the addiction is not of that kind that we can say that there is a very serious problem as yet.
Sure. Prof, before I let you go, Brian Mokwena has just joined the conversation. Brian?
Good evening, Denzel. Good evening, Dr. Pichana.
Sure, he can hear you, Brian.
Yes. I'm the person who outed the so-called famous musician, Sama Fukate.
Sure.
For the grant money that we, as an organization that I used to belong to, we received, and something untoward happened to it. But however, I just want to bring another aspect, and I hope that the prof would be able to help also in that.
Sure.
That upon having made a complaint with the NLC, the third gentleman was also given another contract for marketing and communication under a completely different company called Roadshow Marketing, which is the sole director. Please, Prof, can you also look into that? Because I know that the current proclamation regarding the SIU only deals with the grant monies received by the by organizations. But all that I'm appealing for is that, can you, if it's possible, the NLC look into that marketing and communication contract that was awarded to Roadshow Marketing?
Mm. Brian Mokwena, thank you so much. Professor, as I let you go,
say to you, I can say to you, Brian, that I am aware that that organization that you mentioned has been declared delinquent, and therefore, at the very least, will no longer be one of the accredited suppliers of the National Lottery. That's for sure. What I cannot say at the moment is whether any money that has been wrongly awarded, any projects wrongly awarded to them, will be recoverable. That I think is the next step. Mm. But I can assure you, because I know, that that organization is no longer in the list of suppliers of the National Lotteries Commission.
Mm. Prof, you were at a crisis point, and that was a few months ago, and way, way before that, of course. But as you entered, you know, the fray, you suggested you were at a crisis point. The National Lotteries Commission was at a crisis point. Are you still there? How you know, comfortable are you now in that particular seat? How do you look at the framework right now?
I think it's looking up, Denzel. I told you that the wonderful news of a new commissioner today, and the members of the board are really gelling together very well. Unfortunately, the minister, they were short-term contracts for all the board members, and the minister still has to indicate to us about any new board members that he seeks to have or to extend the current board members. It is very, very important for us that we bring back stability at the governance level at the organization. Now we are about to announce the appointment of a chief finance officer and others. So it looks good.
Mm.
It looks good. It looks positive. The outlook looks a lot better than it did when I walked into the National Lotteries Commission on the 1st of September.
Mm. Prof, so many people will be listening and encouraged by what you've said and wanting to engage, because so many companies, so many institutions, so many NGOs will sit in, like you said, it's not an isolated case, the case that Kia was telling us about. What does somebody begin to do? How do they begin to contact? How do they get you or get your attention in these particular in this particular regard? What's the closest that they can get to where you would pay attention to it? Or is there an institution, a body, a unit that they could engage with that's going to help them?
We found through the whistleblowers hotline.
Mm.
Amazing new information that is coming up of the kind that Brian is talking about just now.
Mm.
And those matters have been followed up diligently.
Mm.
So there is not one report that comes through the whistleblower hotline, which, by the way, is not managed from the National Lotteries Commission.
Mm.
It's managed from the Department of Trade, Industry and Cooperation. So when it comes to us, we are quite aware that there are legitimate issues that have come, and it's been refreshing to find the number of things that we've had to follow up and deal with. So I encourage people to use the whistleblowers hotline that is available, and members of staff are also encouraged, and they are using the facilities to disclose information that they have. And that actually means that there's a turnaround in the texture of the organization than what was the case when I walked in there on the 1st of September.
And that hotline has been re-established. That's the terminology I know that is being used. Re-established. It went into something of a
It was feared. It had no integrity. It was compromised at the time because it was it seemed to be controlled from within the NLC. The first thing Lionel October, when he was acting commissioner, did was to take it out of the National Lotteries Commission and use the facilities that are available with an outside audit firm to actually give it independence.
Professor Barney Pichana, thank you so much. I know I have to let you go. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us here on Power Night tonight.
Conversation. I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. And of course, Professor Barney Pichana is the chairperson of the National Lotteries Commission.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.